Now, we have a very special treat for you. One of the originators of Fighting Bob Fest, Jim Hightower, is a nationally syndicated columnist, including every single month in the Progressive magazine. And he also publishes his newsletter, The Hightower Lowdown, and is known through his radio commentaries, which are heard on WORT here in Madison, Wisconsin. And he's been a part of Fighting Bob Fest since the very beginning. Let's give a very warm welcome to America's favorite populist. Molly Ivins once said, if Mother Jones and Will Rogers had a baby, it would be Jim Hightower.
Thank you, Norm. Thank you. Hello, revolutionaries. Just a pluperfect joy for me to be back for the best political party in America, Fighting Bob Fest. Thank you. And there may be some of you who don't recall, how did this thing get started? Well, it got started because one of the best trial lawyers in America, one of the best stand-up populist Democrats in America, pulled it together about a dozen years ago, and we've got him here, and I just want to introduce him to you again, our friend Ed Garvey, founder of Fighting Bob Fest.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks, Jim Hightower. Let me just tell you, about 15 years ago, I got a phone call from Jim Hightower. And he said, how would you like to create something called Rolling Thunder? And it would be a series of Chautauquas running from San Diego to Seattle and all throughout the country. And we would be getting everyone excited about having an opportunity to come together and to raise hell. And I know all of you are hellraisers. And I can just say, as I'm looking at you here, what a wonderful sight this is. 15 years of people giving a damn about what's going on. And I'm not going to say very much, but it seems to me wherever I go in this country, I inevitably run into somebody who says, were you really one of the founders of Bob Fest? And I say, yeah, I was. Why do you have a summons and complaint? You trying to sue me, son of a bitch? Say, how's it going on? I thought we were friends. But the reason I'm not going to say very much is that you have heard from the best speakers in the United States of America today. You just can't find better speakers or better people to articulate the challenges that we have in front of us. And so as I look at Fighting Bob Fest, I just think this is the time where we should just say to each other, we're finished identifying the problem. We know what the problem is. Now it's time to get busy, roll up your sleeves, let's take on the powers that be on behalf of the powers that ought to be. And that is what I think is the entire message here to you this afternoon, is we want to make sure that you go away from here, yes, thinking about Bob Fest, but also thinking about people who have been involved in Fighting Bob Fest from day one and who now understand the spirit of Fighting Bob Fest. I mean, think about the number of people who really define their politics now by what happened in politics what's happened and the various people who really give a damn. And you know, as we look around this hall, whatever the heck it is, we realize that we have to take advantage of opportunities as they come along. Because 14 years ago, I heard from a little-known congressman from Vermont, who indicated that he would be willing to come up to Madison, Wisconsin, and fight the good fight with us for a long time. And so many people did not know Bernie Sanders at that point. Now he has changed the lives of millions of people in this country. It's not just black people's lives should matter. It's all people's lives should matter. And when these folks come here and say they're going to raise hell up here, we believe each other. We trust each other. We love each other. And what we really have to do is understand that we do care about each other, love each other, and that we're willing to make sure that people who shouldn't be here, please leave. So if all Muslims would please leave. We can't be having Muslims dropping into our meetings and telling us what the hell is going on. So we'll be taking a roll call a little bit later. The only danger of using humor is sometimes people take you seriously. I don't say a whole lot of it, but it's an honor for me in the real sense to be here with Keith Ellison and Jim Hightower and Tammy Baldwin and Russ Feingold and all sorts of good people who really want to make this better. A better world and a better life for all of us. So rather than spend a lot of time telling you things that you already know, I just would ask you to, somehow when you're going home in the next several hours, figure out what you can do to make this thing work. What can we do to really gather our energy and make an opportunity, make careful attention to study the and I apologize for my inability to articulate everything. So and Hightower's been here 10 years out of the possible 12, and he's my hero, because wherever there's a fight to carry on, you can always count on Jim Hightower and step forward and say, just lead me to the battleground. He doesn't need to have a game plan. He just needs to know where to go to start the fire and to raise hell. So thank you for everything that you've done, everything you do. I think the grass here is a nice compromise between Baraboo and people who are here. So thank you for all you do, and we look forward to seeing you again next year. And let's raise hell. And I just leave you with one thought. I have never been more optimistic than I am right now. Think what's happening as people are exposing the powers that be. People who are willing to run the risk of imprisonment or jail for fighting for the good fight. And thank you for all that you're going to do in the course of the next year. I have 32 pages of notes. And I'll be going through them one at a time. So, if anybody would like to help me, I would greatly appreciate it. It's not easy putting together 42 pages of notes for people who know more than you know to begin with. I mean, let's get serious here, folks. We got to get here. So let me just end with this and say a special thanks to Jim Hightower, because he is one of my great heroes. He's always there when you need him, and he's even there sometimes when you don't need him. So, Jim, thank you very much. I knew where Hightower was when we would see Bernie on television, because his hat was just moving around. Trying to figure out what the hell, what he was trying to do. So thank you, and enjoy the rest of the program. More importantly, get ready for the damnedest fight that you've ever encountered in your life. There's no reason why we can't win this battle. In fact, there's no reason why we shouldn't win this battle. And we need your help to make that happen. And we need all of you to inspire the people here, both here and on the artificial turf. If Zyron were doing his job, he'd have an artificial turf out of here. So thank you, and we'll see you next year, same time, same place. Thank you.
That's proof that you can't keep a good man down. Never known a better one. Well, I thank you for allowing a scruffy Texas populist to come to this annual tent revival of the Church of Populist Revelation and Redemption here in Madison. And particularly heartwarming, by the way, to be in Scott Walker's stand. Now that his honors seems to be sinking in the stink of his own ethical swamp. Mary Batara was telling me about how corporate checks to politicians are outlawed here in Wisconsin. That rule was put forth, that law was put forth by Fighting Bob La Follette. And guess what? Scott Walker seems to have a problem with corporate checks. So this is going to be an evolving story that's going to be fun to watch as he bobbles and stumbles along. You know, Molly Ivins once said of a Texas politician, said, if he gets one digit dumber, we're going to have to water him twice a week. Well, here we are. Last year, I was here at Bob Fest, and I started my little peroration with this question. I said, how bizarre can American politics get? Well, I dare not ask that question again. Thanks to the Donnie Trump freak show. Can this actually be happening? Our friend Doonesbury, Gary Trudeau, a few weeks ago, did a series on Donnie Trump in a Sunday comic strip talking about himself, of how extraordinary he is. No one is more conservative than me. No one respects women more than me. No one reads the Bible more than me. There's nobody more pro-Israel than I am. There's nobody that's done so much for equality as I have. Nobody knows more about taxes than me, maybe in the history of the world. I have studied in great detail, greater by far than anyone else, the Iran deal. Nobody's ever been more successful than me. Nobody knows banking better than I do. Nobody's bigger or better at the military than I am. I'm the least racist person you'll ever meet. Nobody knows the system better than me. Nobody builds walls better than me. That's the Republican nominee for President of the United States. I mean, you hear that and you think, 100,000 sperm and you were the fastest? Well, the tragedy, of course, is we're getting the Donald at a time when the American people desperately need a real politics, a big politics, to face up to the big reality that our United States of America has been turned into the disunited land of gaping inequality. Not by accident, but because the plutocratic, autocratic, kleptocratic corporate elites have deliberately, flagrantly been knocking down the middle class and holding down the poor while picking the pockets of both of them for themselves. You know, economists have a technical term for what the powers that be are doing to us. The term is stealing. Faster than a hog eats supper. Now, Woody Guthrie had that great song about outlaws. Pretty Boy Floyd, the outlaw, had a verse in it, said, "As through this world I travel, I see lots of funny men. Some will rob you with a six gun, and some with a fountain pen." It's the fountain pens who are doing the serious stealing in our society today. That's what we're up against. I come to you not just from Austin, Texas, but from South Austin. And that's where Molly lived, and John Henry Faulkner, and much of us. I'm over there, and we're a little more irreverent on the south side of Austin. Our unofficial slogan is, "We're all here because we're not all there." And I think that's why we're gathered here at another Bob Fest, because we know that the powers that be are not at all there in terms of grasping those values of fairness and justice and equality that America actually stands for, America's essential social glue of "we're all in this together." And by the powers that be, I'm talking about the downsizers and privatizers, the Walmart wage whackers and the big oil frackers, the bosses, bankers, big shots, bastards, and bullshitters who think they're the top dogs and we're just a bunch of fire hydrants out here in the countryside. Well, this widening chasm of inequality is not happening by accident, but the direct result of intentional actions and inactions of these economic and political decision makers who move money and power from the many, you and me, to the few, them. To pull off this daylight robbery, they use every monkey wrench and hacksaw and sledgehammer in their toolkit. They've got their lobbyists, their campaign cash, their union busters, their front groups, their trade scams, their congressional junkets, their propaganda campaigns, Fox News, lawsuits, bribery, outright lies. You know, they say that in sex, and I don't know much about this. John Nichols was trying to explain it to me earlier, but they say that in sex, using a feather can be erotic, but using the whole chicken, that is just nasty. They are using the whole chicken on us. This power play, this great divide, that is the real politics of America. As we say in Texas, politics with hair on it. From 1776 to 2016, the consistent struggle of progressives has been about the big politics, which comes down to this reality. Too few people control too much of the money and power, and they use that money and power to get more for themselves at our expense. That's the fight that we're in. It's the fight we've been in from the start. It's not Donnie and Hillary, it is plutocracy versus democracy. Well, now, for some good news. Ed says, well, to talk about what's working in this country. And the good news is, and I'm lucky duck, I get to travel the country a whole bit, been just about every place that's got a zip code, and every place that is out there, there's somebody or some group of somebodies or some coalition of groups of somebodies who are revolting in the very best sense of that word. People, groups, coalition rising up against the corporate greed heads and the political boneheads. Because, after all, even a dog knows the difference between being stumbled over and being kicked. We're being kicked. And people know that now. They see it. We see the spreading grassroots rebellion now taking place over here in Cannonball, North Dakota, where Standing Rock Lakota Sioux are standing up to say no, no to another robbery of our people and our dignity, no to another insult, and inspiring thousands here in this country and around over 280 tribes have come together in that little town of Cannonball. Never happened in the history of this country that they would come together, and then that inspires us to come together, environmentalists, climate change people, joining in this fight. We see it also in the fight for 15, sweeping the country. We see it in the public's furious rejection of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a criminal proposal by the President of the United States, by the way, secretly negotiated trade scam that would enthrone global corporations over the people's sovereignty. 500 corporations sat at the table to negotiate that deal. Farmers were not at the table. Workers were not at the table. Environmentalists were not there. Consumers were not there. There's an old saying in negotiating, if you're not at the table, you're on the menu. And that's what's happening with the Trans-Pacific Partnership. We've got to defeat that. It's going to come up right after the election in the lame duck Congress, and we have got to rally to defeat that and organize around it all throughout Wisconsin. Conservative people do not favor this. We've got a chance to reach out and build something bigger than we've got right now. We see it, of course, in the fight against Citizens United, not only to repeal Citizens United, but to provide public financing for our elections so that we the people are in charge, not the donors. And we see it in Black Lives Matter. We see it in the Dreamers immigration reform, the equal pay for women movement, the Robin Hood tax on Wall Street speculators, postal banking, national parks, across the board. The people are on our side. We do not have to go convince the people about the issues. They're wondering where the hell we are. Let's organize all across the country. And, of course, we see this rebellion in the ongoing Democratic Revolution sparked by Bernie Sanders with this incredible run for the presidency. Bernie never imagined when he decided to make this run, and I certainly didn't imagine that he would have a chance to actually win the presidency. But not only did he have a chance, he did something bigger. He rallied, engaged, and energized millions of 18 to 30-year-old voters, disenchanted, disenfranchised working-class voters, independent voters, old populist Democrats like me. He revolutionized Democratic Party politics in the process by showing that big issues, populist issues, combined with small donor money is the future for elections in this country, that we the people can indeed take charge. And now we're going to spread the burn method, spread it to all of the states in this country. We're going to have a national network of state networks based on Bernie's populist principles and Bernie's populist issues and grassroots little-d democratic organizing. Had a meeting earlier today with some people here who are Bernie delegates and organizers, so we can bring the Our Revolution, as Bernie calls his next project, to Wisconsin. I want you to sign up for that. Get involved in this because we're going to have something big. This is the answer to Scott Walker. It's not condemning Scott Walker. It's defeating Scott Walker at the polling booth, and we can do that if we organize, if we work together. We're going to bring it to Texas. And before you laugh at that, let me just say that Bernie had 250,000 active volunteers in Texas, people who did something, not just on a list, they did something. We have 88,000 Bernie contributors in Texas. We've never had lists like that before. Now we do, and we're going to tap into those lists, and we're going to organize at a grassroots level. We're going to recruit candidates and campaign managers and organizers and train them and put them out there. We're going to start electing city council people and school board people next spring in Texas, and you can do the same thing right here in Wisconsin. That's how you build a movement. When I first met Bernie when he was running for Congress. Actually, I first met him when he was mayor, but when he was first running for Congress, I went up and did an event for him at Montpelier, their state capital there. And afterwards, after our little talkathon, this guy came up wearing a big old political button. It's just the best one I've ever seen. It said, "Wearing a button is not enough. You know, we can't be a nation of button wearers. We got to be a little bigger than that, a little bolder than that. We got to get out there. We got to talk to people, not be afraid to engage people, because they're really on our side when you talk about these kinds of issues." So my message to you, and I'm sure you're wondering what it is by now, is that it's up to us. It's not up to Hillary. It's not up to the Donald, of course. Not up to Bernie. Not up to Congress. It's up to you and me. 2016 is not just another election year. It's a new beginning, a new populist moment in American history. A movement can be built here. No longer enough for us to be progressive. We've been progressive a long time. The powers that be had turned radically regressive, so we've got to become aggressive again. Progressively aggressive has got to be our mantra. Get out there, as we say in Texas, with a passion hotter than high school love. Let's go at it. Let's go get them. This is the spirit that built the labor movement. This is the spirit that built the civil rights movement, that built the women's movement. And now we must build a new democracy movement in America. We've got to bring democracy to America, not to take America back. The Tea Party's done that. We're back 100 years already. But rather to move America forward with everybody moving forward. That's the game, is my old daddy. You got to beware of Texans telling daddy stories, but I had a pretty good one. And my old daddy used to say, to me, he didn't know he had a political philosophy, but he expressed it like this. He said, "Everybody does better when everybody does better." And that's the best political philosophy I can think of. It's not when the few do better, it's when everybody does better. So I'm here to say, keep on keeping on, only more so. The cynics, of course, say that we can't win. We can't beat the corporate kleptocracy. They've got all the money. They've got the media, etc. But as a friend of mine who's been a pioneer in the organic movement put it to me, he said, "Those who say it can't be done should not interrupt those who are doing it." And that would be you. We are the answer. We're the only answer that's available to us. So we've got to continue to reach out, forge coalitions, organize that coalition into a unified whole, and persevere, build for the long haul. It's not just the next election. It's what you achieve as we have this year with Bernie Sanders, and then as we achieve more next spring, and as we achieve then in the 2018 by-elections, then as we achieve in the 2020 presidential election, because we'll be back. You don't win that first time out necessarily, but you build power. As Willie Nelson told me, he said, "Hightower, the early bird might get the worm, but it's the second mouse that gets the cheese." I'm going to let you all think about that for a moment. So, again, we've got to get aggressively progressive. I'll leave you with this thought. It's from Louis Grizzard, the late great Southern humorist, who said something that we in the South have always known to be true, and that is that there's a great big difference between being naked and being naked. Being naked, well, that means you have no clothes on. But being naked, that means you have no clothes on and you are up to something. So let us get naked together. Let's get up to something. Let's get up to bringing democracy to America again. Thank you very much, Bob Fest, Wisconsin, for all that you're doing. Proud to be with you.